it's very difficult for any country to get guarantees that one can trust, because for the past 5 years, if not more, the government of Sudan has made numerous promises about ceasefires and other actions that they will or will not take, and they have a strong history of breaking every one of them.
Between 2004 and 2007, Russia sold Sudan at least 33 military aircraft. Has any action been taken to show international disapproval of those aircraft sales?
The UN Security Council has what's called a panel of experts, which is a group of about four arms experts who report to the Sanctions Committee. The Sanctions Committee was set up under the UN arms embargo to monitor violations of the arms embargo and then take any necessary steps if those happen. The panel of experts reports to the Sanctions Committee, and the panel of experts has published a report about every year since it was set up, and there's a report that's in the works right now that lays out in very clear language specific instances of various countries violating the arms embargo. So plenty of evidence is there for the international community, starting with the UN, to take some action against these countries that are violating the embargo that it has put in place. Yet there is very, very little response by anyone at the UN about these violations.
Well, who do you think needs to be punished for such violations, Russia, Sudan, or both countries?
Both countries and other countries that are selling to the government of Sudan. The government of Sudan, was a panel of experts report from last year or the year before, that noted that a government of Sudan official stated publicly that the government of Sudan did not intend to fulfill the obligations imposed on it by the arms embargo, which included getting approval from the UN Security Council before transferring weapons within the country. The arms embargo requires the government of Sudan to do that, and the government of Sudan has publicly stated that it does not intend to do so, and it doesn't do so. It's never asked for approval, and it's very clear that it has transferred weapons. So, in my view, the government of Sudan should be punished for that, but other countries such as Russia, China, and there are other countries that continue to sell weapons to the government of Sudan is not fulfilling its part of the embargo, they should be punished as well. And even more than that, they should unilaterally suspend the sales until the government of Sudan does what it is supposed to do under this embargo.
Well, what happens to countries that fail to live up to their international obligations on sales of weapons to a country like Sudan?
Sadly, not very much. There is some naming and shaming that goes on. There's some advocacy that goes on by NGOs and sometimes by other governments against them. It can be a point of leverage in bilateral, multilateral discussions, but this is a problem that we are trying to deal with, trying to make it more public, that the world is dismayed by what's happening in Darfur, but there are some pretty simple steps that could be taken to at least start calming things down.
Well, human rights groups are advocating expanding the embargo to cover the entire country of Sudan. What would be the impact of individual countries imposing direct bilateral embargoes on the country?
Well, it would happen a lot faster. If countries declared on their own that they would halt sales of weapons, they could halt them tomorrow, and a UN Security Council resolution would take a much, much longer time. And if the country makes that declaration and does it in good faith, then there would be some assurance that they would actually stop them. With a UN embargo that's more punitive, we'd be in the same boat of having to monitor it and then hold countries to account for breaking it.
Do you think that the UNAMID peacekeeping force has the capability of monitoring the movement of Sudanese warplanes and how they're deployed in the country, so that they could track the use of the new MiG-29s?
I'm not an expert on UNAMID and on its capabilities. They're stretched very thin across the country. But this panel of experts that is made up of typically four people, I believe, they were able to, on missions into the country, track the movement of some planes through checking logbooks in various airports and through taking photos of planes that they saw. So if you choose just 12 planes to track, it doesn't have to be a giant task to see whether or not they ever break the embargo. It would be very difficult to track them every single day, but aircraft are much easier to track than light weapons because they have tail numbers and you can actually see them from afar.
So that given the fact that the sale apparently is going through by the Russians, do you think that there should be some sort of a mechanism for tracking put in place?
Well, the panel of experts exists, and my guess is that there's information in the panel of experts report about planes violating the embargo. What I think we need even more than monitoring and tracking is some sort of punitive measures that you apply against countries that have violated the embargo. It would be great also to have more monitoring, but really what we need are consequences.
What kind of signal can the election of a new U.S. president send to Sudan's on-again, off-again cooperation in ending this conflict?
Well, I wouldn't describe their cooperation as on-again, off-again. I'd say that it's pretty much off always. It's an interesting time right now because there are some who believe that the Sudanese government would rather deal with President Bush than with President-elect Obama, because some advisors of President-elect Obama have been very, very strong in their condemnation of the government of Sudan and in their recommendations for how to deal with the government of Sudan. I would like to see President Obama focus on consequences for actions that have or have not been taken. I would like to see President Obama try to strengthen the backbone of some of our allies and some other countries around the world that aren't our typical allies but could be very helpful in trying to bring some spine to the UN Security Council behind this embargo that they cared enough to impose. They should then care enough to see that it's not violated.
Do you expect to see a lot of stronger changes coming from the new administration?
I expect to see a renewed focus on Darfur at the beginning of the administration. I think that because it's such a time of transition, I think that it's a time when the new administration could try to take some new and different steps to try to get out of some of the same back and forth that the Bush administration has been in and to try to approach this in a different way. Perhaps, for example, by bringing a lot of the armed suppliers to the table. There's a lot of focus on bringing the rebels and the government of Sudan to the negotiating table. And so far it hasn't worked. And maybe we should bring a lot of arms suppliers to the table. That's not the only aspect of the problem, of course, but it's one that could be addressed in a sort of novel and